We're back to our summer series, which is over the life of Jacob, trying to hit some main things through his story. And the whole part is, are we trusting the story that God is writing in your life? That is not an easy thing to do. I'm trying to make sure we all understand that. It's not easy. It's not simplistic. It's just, oh yeah, that's easy. I just do that every day. It's a challenge. It's hard. And what we can see in the life of Jacob is he struggles to trust what God wants to do in his life. And he's always sitting there manipulating, trying to do things and get the outcome that he wants instead of trusting that God has a plan in the midst of everything. So last week was, I know I'm supposed to get this blessing. And with his mother's help, he goes in and ends up just lying and deceiving and getting a hold of that blessing because he didn't know how else it's going to happen. I mean, I know there's this prophecy that was given to my mom that I'm supposed to be in charge, but you know what? I can't see how this is going to happen. Let's just go in there and pretend I'm Esau and just go get the blessing somehow. And that's what ultimately happens. He goes in there, lies, deceives his way into getting that blessing. Now, this week, I want us to kind of hit some things that happen right after this. And there's a reason for it. Because we need to talk about what happens when we sin. It just doesn't, oh well. I guess we just didn't do things God's way. We just broke commandments, broke what God said to do, and it'll all be okay in the end. There are things that happen when we fall, when we sin, when we go against what God says is the way things need to be. It's his creation, his rules, his standards, his authority. And for all of us in the room this morning, you watching online, that's really, we could have a whole discussion about what is the authority in your life. Because if you claim to follow Jesus, right, it's only if you claim to follow Jesus, this becomes the authority in our lives. Okay, that's what's supposed to happen. That means I don't have my opinions. I don't go on Facebook to tell everybody what I think about the latest thing. I need to know what God thinks. There's a reason I need to know what God thinks, because this is who I follow. This is who I serve. This is my authority. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. And therefore, he goes and he tells his disciples what he wants them to do. From this point, I'm afraid we've lost that somewhere along the line, where this no longer has become our authority. It has some nice suggestions, and I don't know if I want to live like that. So I'll just live like I want, and I'll ask God to kind of bless my life as I do whatever I want. There's huge problems with that. So I think we just need to understand this is either going to be your authority or it's not. One way or the other. Pretty simple, okay? And that's where we're talking about this morning, this idea of when we fall. What happens when we go against what God says needs to happen? What God says is right, what God says is wrong. What happens when we just ignore that and do whatever we want? What happens to Jacob? So we're going to be in Genesis 28, a little bit in Genesis 29, and I know it seems like I have to cover so much ground as we're going through this during these weeks, because I need you to see what happens after this, okay? So chapter 28, you start off and it says, so Isaac called for Jacob and blessed him. Wait a minute, didn't he already do that? No, remember he thought it was Esau. So here Jacob's like, okay, well, we need to get this right. So he blessed him. Then he commanded him, you must not marry a Canaanite woman. Now, I almost put in there Ed version 2.0 after this, which says, but Dad, all the Canaanite women are the hot women. Why can't we do that? Okay, I would love to put that in because we don't understand this sentence. We don't understand this sentence. We will get to that this morning, but there's a specific reason why he says don't do this, which, by the way, Esau does. And does so multiple times. But he tells Jacob, nope, that's not what I want you to do. Leave immediately for Padan Aram. Go to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and find yourself a wife there among the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. I want you to go somewhere else. And there, we could just stop there, and we could go for the next 30 minutes and barely scratch the surface of why he tells him what he does. And we'll hit just a little bit of this, but I want you to see, he's got to make sure that things go in order and that Jacob's in the right place to do what he needs to do in order to follow the story. But this is all happening, okay, in a rush because what? Well, Esau is going to kill him, if you remember the story from last week. Esau is going to kill him because he stole my blessing. First, he went and got the birthright, and I traded it for a bowl of stew, and now he's got the blessing. I'm going to kill him. And so Jacob's got to leave. And Jacob has really done this to himself. He has deceived his way into getting what, yes, God promised him, but is that how we're supposed to be? Come on, we can all admit we do this. Where we try to, I know this is what God wants, so I'm just going to get it my own way. Always ends up bad. It always ends up bad. So what I want you to see here, because I think we miss this. We miss this because our theology is right, our application is bad. Now, what do I mean by this? God, you read this text. If you're just reading the story straight through, the very next thing, Jacob heads out. He goes to Padan Aram, okay? Now, he didn't get up in his car and drive, you know, a couple hours. It meant a journey, a long journey. So he has to stop. He can't do it in one day. He stops overnight. And what I want you to know is God meets him on his journey. God meets him. Now, we could read that and go, well, isn't God supposed to move away from him? I mean, Jacob has sinned here. Jacob has caused a huge mess in his family. Why does, you know, I love asking on Wednesday nights, especially when we have the kids together, why is lying bad? Because the Bible says so. Well, that's wonderful. But why does God say lying's bad? Why is God say that kind of thing? I want it gone. I don't want you to be people about lies. I want you to be people about the truth. Because lies destroy relationships. And guess what Jacob did? He destroyed relationships. He destroyed a relationship with his brother. He destroyed relationships in his family. His mother's involved in this. It destroys relationships. It brings death to relationships. And you would think, oh, God's probably like, Jacob, what am I going to do with you? No, he actually meets him on his journey. See, here's what I mean by our theology sometimes gets applied wrong. We know that God can't be in the presence of sin. So we understand this. So then our thinking is, well, then when we sin, God must move as far away from us as possible. He just must hightail it and run and get as far away from us as he can. Nope. And how do I know this? You can start in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve have sinned. And the next thing it tells us, and it uses a specific word for it, is that God walks in the garden. He moves towards them. And what are they doing? I don't think we assume in the room or watching online, right, that God's like, oh, I don't know what happened. I didn't know they ate the fruit. Okay. He knows this. He knows they've already sinned. And yet here's God moving towards them. And to contrast this, what is the next thing it says? But Adam and Eve hid from the Lord. So while God's moving towards them, they're moving away. And they're hiding, and they're moving away. One of the things we have to understand is that God is moving towards us. That is what God does. Now, whether or not we're moving towards him in the way that we live and the way we choose to do things in our life, I don't know. How's that going for you? How are you doing? Was this week a week that you took steps towards God or you moved away from God? That's a big question. But you need to see God meets him on his journey. So meanwhile, Jacob left Beersheba, set out for Haran, because, right, that's where he's going. He reached a certain place where he decided to camp because the sun had gone down. He took one of the stones, placed it near his head, and then he fell asleep in that place and had a dream. This is verses 10 through 12. And he has this dream of a staircase to heaven, if you've ever read that. We call it Jacob's ladder. I don't want to get in the midst of that. But you understand, God meets him on this journey. When God could have said, man, Jacob, you screwed up. Good luck. Have fun. Have a good life without me. God moves towards him. And God begins to promise him things. He meets him. And he says what? I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham and the God of your father Isaac. If you had any doubts who I was, I'm going to tell you who I am. I will give you and your descendants the ground you are lying on. So now he begins to make promises. In other words, Jacob, I want to be your God too. Will I be your God? Will I be your God or not? Or are you just going to go about doing things your own way, trying to get the results you want, trying to do things the way you want them done? Big question. And he doesn't look and says, oh, by the way, I'm your God because I was the God of your grandfather and I was the God of your father. No, Jacob, am I your God? Am I your God? Are you willing to follow me? Are you willing to do life my way? Are you willing to do things the way I want them done? Are you willing to walk away from the things that you've done before? Come on, those things are painful. You're destroying relationships. Are you willing to do things a different way, Jacob? Because I would love to be your God. I would love to be your God. I would love for you to follow me. And then he makes him this personal, incredible personal promise. I am with you. No, wait a minute. You're with me if I stop these old ways, right? No, I'm with you. I'm with you because I want to lead you in a new direction. I'm moving towards you. I will protect you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. This is yours. I am making all these promises to you because I am moving towards you. In spite of what's happened, because I want you to move towards me and leave the way you've done before and leave all that behind, and I want you to come towards me. It's a huge promise by God. And do you understand that God's made the same promise to you and me? Come on, do things my way. I know you've tried your way. It's incredibly frustrating at times, isn't it? It's hard. It's difficult. Why don't you try life my way? And try following me and try things my way for a change and see the incredible difference it makes. I want to be your God. I want to be with you. I want to help you. I want you to experience the life I actually created for you instead of the version that you think because culture keeps telling you to do it this way. I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going there. You might move away from me. This is really important. You might move away from me, Jacob, and you might decide to do things your own way. And you might get into a whole bunch of other messes like this one you just created. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to do what I promised. Whether you want to join me in that story, I would love you to. And I keep asking, I keep wondering, how many of us, we can see that in our lives. The areas we're moving towards God, the places we're moving away from God. And God doesn't move. This is the beauty. God didn't move. God didn't move this week. Okay, God just didn't walk out on you this week. You moved. You walked out. You left. You went to doing it your own way. You went and said, I don't care what the scripture says. Forget that. I'm just going to do what everybody else is doing because it's 2022 and this is the way you live. I don't know what it was, but we're either moving towards God or away from God, and God isn't the one moving. It's us. And what Jacob found that night was a God who met him in probably one of his lowest moments. He just blew up his whole family and had to leave abruptly. And now he's off somewhere else and he has no idea what's going to happen. And God says, by the way, I've been there the whole time. I want to be your God, Jacob. How about that? You can trust me and you can trust what I want to do in your life. And then the last part I want you to see this morning of this journey is when Jacob meets Rachel. Now, I have skimmed over this for years, and I'm going to be honest, I've never understood it until you understand it in the context of what has just happened, okay? So, this is chapter 29. While he was still speaking with them, Rachel arrived with her father's sheep, for she was tending them. That's what she was doing at that point. When Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of his uncle Laban, and the sheep of his uncle Laban, he went over and rolled the stone off the mouth of the well and watered the sheep of his uncle Laban. Okay, does this sound pretty right? Right? Being a guy, doing what he needs to do. And then there's this. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and began to weep loudly. Anybody go, that's a weird place for that? Like, what are you thinking? I mean, when you read that sentence, what are you thinking? Is she that bad of a kisser? I don't know. Right? What are you asking yourselves in this? Why does he cry? What does he cry for? And we'll get to that in a moment. I want you to see that because what's going on is this is going to be what happens because he did things his own way. And and I'm not going to trust the story. I'm going to do things my own way. And he's going to weep for a particular reason and what's going to happen. Okay? So, here's our question today. Okay? Why does it matter who you marry? Why does it matter? Why does it matter? Just marry anybody. In fact, why get married? I mean, this is 2022. Why get married? Why don't we just live together and then, you know, hey, it's been enough time. Why don't we just, let's just share vows. You know, it's been a few years. We kind of get along well. We're pretty compatible with each other. Why don't we just share vows? Why does it matter? Because that's what I feel like at times. I feel like it's asking this question. Because you read it in the text here, and we just kind of skip it over. There's a reason that Isaac wants Jacob to do what he did. And that was marry in a certain way because marriage is difficult. It's hard. Many of you know this personally. Many watching online. For many of you, it's been a painful experience. You've experienced divorce. There are no guarantees, okay? We've gotten this wrong over the years where we try to make promises to our kids, okay? Now, there's no promise here. There's no promise of, by the way, Jacob, if you just go there, everything will work. You'll have an awesome marriage if you just go there. If you just go there, pick out a wife, everything will be perfect. Everything will work out. We have made promises like that that we had no business making, okay, that told people, oh, it's okay. You just marry another Christian, and it'll be perfect, okay? Just wait until you're married, and it'll all be perfect. Like somehow, I just keep these promises, and God blesses me, and marriage is perfect. Nope, because we're still sinners, and we will still sin. I'm understanding you. What he's trying to do is give him the best case scenario. Marry somebody like-minded with the same values as you. Guess what the Canaanite women didn't follow? God. And there's a big one. They didn't follow God. They had their own God. His name was Baal. It was an image. Okay? That's who they had. Don't go there, Jacob. Okay? Because you're going to end up serving the wrong God. Don't start there. And there's all sorts of reasons. He's trying to get him on the right path, doing the right things with marriage. And I'm telling you, it matters. It matters. And we have not probably helped people understand that it does matter. That you're with someone, you're going in the same direction, because I'm telling you, it gets hard, it gets difficult. And guess what you have to do at times? And most of the married people, you understand this. You have to help out each other. That means sometimes you're going to struggle spiritually. You're going to struggle. And it's going to be your spouse that says, I know, hang in there. God is good. God's going to help us through this. We're going to make it. I know you're struggling right now. Okay? But God's faithful. You're going to have to pick up your spouse. Spiritually pick up your spouse. Because they're struggling right now. Because that happens. Life is hard. God is good. And you're going to have to encourage them and pick them up and say, why don't we try this? Why don't we do that? And you might have to reciprocate the favor, okay? It goes both ways. Know you're going to struggle. And know that if you're both going in the same direction, you're following the same God, you're worshiping the same God, you are following him, you are serving him, this becomes the authority of your life, you have a better chance. You have a better chance. Is it going to be perfect? Is it going to last forever? Is it going to be? We throw a lot of promises that God doesn't make. Follow me. Serve me. Go in the same direction as me. Do that. So it does matter. It does matter. You want someone with the same values, same beliefs, same authority of God's word, so that when you hit bumps, which happen, you work them out together. And you figure them out together. And you work on it together. And you're there for each other. Why would God meet Jacob after all he had done? I wish every one of us would wrestle with this, because I think we too much have a picture of a God, who the angry, vengeant God, which we like when it's somebody else. Okay, we run this with the disciples, okay? They run into some people who don't like them very much, don't like Jesus very much, and they're like, Jesus, can we do what we heard about from Sodom? Can we just like throw down lightning bolts? Are we allowed to do that? That would be awesome. That's what they want to do. We like that when it's always somebody else. And the problem with that is that it's dripped into us, and we think, oh, God must hate me. God must be so disappointed with me, and he walks away. No, we do. And that's why he meets Jacob, because you know what Jacob needed after the disaster he created at home? He needed the Lord. He didn't need a God who's like, sorry, Jacob, you're on your own, okay? He needed God to meet him in that moment. And what does God do? Meets him in that moment. And God is so faithful to do that, to meet you in the moments you need him the most. He is not moving away from you. He's actually moving towards you. But where are you moving? And why does Jacob cry after meeting Rachel? Why does he do that? I'm going to tell you, there's a piece of regret here that we'll talk about in just a few moments. Let me hit some life application here, which I know, okay? It's just, there's just so much in this text. Marriage requires unity. Start with common values and build on it. Do you understand that from the beginning, what are we told? That God has made them one. God's desire is to make them one. And why does he do that? He says, like, we are one. It's the same language that he uses for the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that he brings in and says, I want you to be one. That's me, you, and your spouse. One. Okay? That's pretty hard when you don't serve the same God. That's pretty hard when there's a lot of other stuff, when there's no unity, when there's not common values. Start there and build on it. By the way, you don't start there because, well, you know, take Jill and I. Well, we went in Bible college. Everything's perfect if you meet in Bible college, right? No. Right? No, it's not. But you have a point where you can build on. Let me tell you what we don't do. We just don't sit there and say, oh, boy, back when we were in Bible college, wasn't God good then? I forget about now, but isn't God good then? No. No, because it has built since then. We don't sit there and just say, oh, there's the past. There was that, and I guess that'll be good enough. You build off of that unity. If you start in that place where you have some unity, you have a place to build off of constantly, of working together, serving together, letting God work and move in your life. You have that together. You're not constantly battling somebody who doesn't know God, you know, wants nothing to do with them, and you're battling that, and that you don't even start off unified on that. And Scripture is clear on the examples over and over again. You will get pulled away from God every single time. Every single time. I know, send me your emails and your examples of the one person you know who was able to, in the midst of marrying someone who wasn't following Jesus, still follow Jesus, okay? It's rare. Rare. And that's probably not going to be your story. So start off unified and build on that. For all the couples in the room and the couples listening, are you building on that unity? Are you building on that? Because that has to be built on so it gets stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Sin moves us away from God. Sends us in the opposite direction. Sends us away from what God desires for us, what God wants for us, what God has set in place so that we have a life that is abundant. That's what it does. Moves us away. God will continue to move towards us. In fact, does this our entire life. Does this our entire life. Will continue to move towards us in hopes that we will turn around. In hopes that we will go, what am I doing? In hopes that we will be the prodigal who one day comes to his senses and goes, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? This is ridiculous. I don't need to be here. I don't need to be stuck here. And turns it around and goes in a brand new direction. So God keeps moving towards us. That's why the question is, are you moving towards him? Sin always brings unforeseen consequences along the way. Always does. Always does. So, you want to know why Jacob cries? Jacob was told the story. You can read the story in Genesis chapter 24. The time came for Isaac to find a wife, and Abraham sends a servant to go to, guess where? Padan Aram. He makes the same journey. He goes to the same house. And he finds, and he prays, and he asks God to intercede in all of this, and he finds Rebecca. And it's really interesting. Genesis 24, basically, he asks God, whatever woman is willing to water me and water the camels, which was a lot of water, supposedly, that's the one you've chosen. Goes through all of this. It's the right house. God has come through, okay? He knows all this. What does the servant bring? The servant brings what is necessary, okay? And I understand this is thousands of years ago, to procure this arrangement and this marriage of Rebekah to Isaac. So he brings gold, he brings items of value and of worth, and procures that. What does Jacob not have? Items of value, items of worth. Why? Because he had to leave. He had to leave. This was not a case where dad brings in a servant and dad gives him things. This is not a case of any of that. He's on the run. Why? Esau's going to kill him. And he gets there, and maybe for the first time in this whole trip, he sees her and he goes, I have blown it. This could have been so much different. And I could have walked in and we could have procured and this marriage could have happened. And now I don't know what's going to happen. Now, for some of you know the rest of the story, okay? And we will get into some of that. He pays. He pays dearly for what he did. And that's what you need to know. And that doesn't mean that God doesn't love us because we pay dearly for our sins, okay? Lose all that language. It's not true. God loves us, but there are always consequences that you don't see. Jacob going in there, pretend he's Esau. I got the blessing. He pulls this trap to get the birthright. He shows up and like, oh my, I have blown this. Of course he cries. These are tears of regret because he has messed up what could have been such a different situation. When we don't trust, we do whatever it takes to get what we want. Here's what you need to know. It always costs us more. It always costs us more. What we're going to see in Jacob, he pays dearly for this. And there becomes a lot of deceit, a lot of other stuff in this story. He pays dearly for this. We either are going to trust the story of what God is doing. When I take that into my own hands, I am telling you, it always costs more. It always. And I don't mean just a financial cost. It's going to cost you more. It's going to be harder on your life. It's going to be more difficult. God had a much better plan. But because we don't trust, well, I'm going to do it my way. And I'm just telling you, this is what you learn over time, because it takes time, because we're stubborn as they were. Gosh, I messed this up. This could have been so much better if I had tried to do this my own way. That's what I want you to know. For as hard as it is to trust God and trust the story he is writing, I am telling you, it will always cost you more to do it your own way. And God has so much better in store for us than that. The question I ask you every week, are you trusting the story God is writing? Or are we just excusing our moving away from God, our sin, our disobeying God as, well, I got to figure this out myself. Got to figure it out myself. Got to work my way. I got to do this myself. God's like, oh, I'm right there. I'd love to help you. I have a great plan and a purpose for you. I have so much good for you. But are you going to move towards me? Or are you just going to do it your own way? And watch the cost just add up of doing life our own way instead of trusting the story God is writing. I want to pray for us this morning that you would understand a God who forgives, a God who is moving towards you, and who will continue to move towards you. Why not this week you start moving towards him and see the difference that makes? Let's pray. Father, I wonder how many of us in the room, how many watching online are just, this was a week we did it our own way. Maybe we had the track playing, I'll do it my way. Through all our decisions. As we become what Scripture describes of the Israelites that we are so much like, we're stiff-necked people, we're stubborn, and we're going to do it our own way. As you just watch as it costs us more and more and more and more. So I would pray today you would help us, because I know it's hard. I know it's difficult, that you would help us to trust the story you are writing, that this week we would move towards you. Wherever it was this week, we decided we're going to do it our own way. This week, we're going to move towards you under the authority of your word, what you ask us to do. We're going to move towards you. We're going to do it your way. We're going to trust the story that you are writing. And Father, I know that's hard because there's a lot of areas where we have great uncertainty. And maybe things aren't going the way we want them. So our natural tendency is to do it our own way instead of trusting you and your plan and your word in and through it all. So I pray, Father, as we sing this last song, we will sing it as a declaration of our life. I will follow you. I will follow you. That this week I am moving towards you every single day. And the plan and the purpose you have for my life. Would you work and move and help us to trust you in all things? In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd stand, we're going to sing one more time. Our prayer team's going to be up here over on the side. Please feel free to come and pray about any situation you have. They'd love to pray with you. And we appreciate them doing that.